opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott and my co-host for today, Dan Knott. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, listeners. Thanks for having me.
Yo, gosh. This is going to be the beginning of a new thing I'm going to do. I'm going to pick Tuesdays usually. Dan's pretty busy, and so Friday worked out for him, but I think at least two Tuesdays a month. I'm going to invite in members of the audience one at a time, you know, because you're sitting out there going, I can do better than he's doing. I mean, well, Carl, that sucked today. I can do better than him. I want you to come on and be my co-host on a Tuesday, twice a month. I'm going to go put this out on Facebook and other things. But if you want to be on radio and you want to come in and be my co-host, all you have to do is call 605-4565. During the week, and we'll chit-chat, and you can come on and be the co-host for our shows on Tuesday. I'm here with Katrina. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it right. It's only been like 4 weeks in a row.
Right.
I should have it. From Haven Humane, good morning, but wait a second before we do that.
Good morning.
It is 7:06 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, it's the 8th of October, and Jared's got the weather.
Good morning. It's currently 44 degrees. Today, it's going to be slightly cloudy with a chance of showers tonight, with a high of 69, a low of 43. On Saturday, a high of 74, low of 46. Sunday, high of 79, a low of 43. On Columbus Day, a high of 66, a low of 41, and we're going to have a fire weather watch through Tuesday. And on Monday, I've lost track here, high of 66 for Columbus Day, low of 41. Tuesday, a high of 69, low of 41, and on Wednesday, a high of 69 and a low of 43.
So it's going to rain?
It says slight chance. It says 20%.
Okay.
Tonight.
All right. Hey, the weather reports are brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business down in Anderson that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. And if it's Friday, we have Katrina. And we have our pet of the week. And who is that?
Her name is Citrine, like the gemstone. She's a little shy. She's a three-year-old pit mix, and she's just such a sweetheart.
She looks nice.
She is. She's very calm, a pretty laid-back dog. Definitely the kind of dog that just wants a best friend to follow around and hang out with all the time. No, she's really sweet. She doesn't have a problem with other dogs. Just a very laid-back.
How about cats?
I don't know.
We don't know, but she looks pretty laid-back.
She is. I don't think she'd have much of a problem with cats. She's not a super, super high-energy dog. She definitely likes to get out and, you know, run around and stuff, but she's, I think, more of like a cuddler than a runner.
A cuddler.
Yeah.
A cuddler pity cross.
Definitely.
Which she crossed with? She's got...
I don't know. We just have her as a pit mix.
Okay. Well, you can do that for everything. I'm a pit mix. I think so. Pities are mixed with everything. I'm probably part pit mix.
Right.
Dan, I know, is part pit mix.
Yeah, I probably am a bit pit mix. just depends on what day you catch me on.
Okay, is there anything special about her adoption? You know, some of them are, they're paid for already. That's usually for the older ones, though. And, but this, she is a sweet dog. She's sitting here quiet.
She is.
How's she on the leash?
She's fine. She pulls a little bit, but not very much. For how much she could pull, because she is pretty strong, but pretty redirectable as well.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to
walk.
And
how much does she weigh, do you think?
Oh, man, I'm so bad at estimating their weights. Maybe like 60 pounds? 50, 60?
I'd say 50.
50? Okay,
I go 50.
Yeah, she's not super big.
She's not a thick dog.
No,
she's kind of that leaner dog like that. And, you know, if you're looking for a good dog to have around the house, good with kids... you know, and again, because she weighs like 50 pounds, if you had a toddler, right, you know, Danny, yours might be just a little bit small for having a puppy right now.
Oh, we know we do have a little, yeah, we have just a tiny little dog, so she's, her mouth can barely open.
okay, so anything else going on? Getting ready to have a big, your video thing's getting ready to start, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, the
yeah, I'm not sure.
The auction, online auction.
Oh, that yes, yeah, we have that.
Meant.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, we have that coming up from the 12th to the 16th.
That's
so that'll
right.
be exciting. And on our Facebook page, it was actually revealed that if you enter in to buy a golden ticket, there's only 100 available. It enters you into a raffle to win an all expense paid trip to the Caribbean. So that'll be really fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got some good prizes going
on. But they don't tell you it's with the Marine Expeditionary Force, and you're going to take Renata again. No. Oh, no. Okay. That, just kidding.
Oh,
okay. No, that sounds like a great thing. We're going to talk more about that later on.
Cool.
Okay. So, Katrina, thank you so much for bringing in...
Citrine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're looking for a cool dog, and she's marked great, she's quiet, and she's at that right size, you could keep her in a condo.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. And or if you got some kids that you want to play around with, this looks like a good little dog.
She is. She's great.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Of course.
Anything else? Last thoughts?
Yeah, we're finishing up our Bissell Empty the Shelter event this week. So tomorrow is the last day of it. All dog and cat adoption fees are $10 this week.
So if you came in and adopted Citrine, it would be $10.
Yes. So definitely can't miss out
on
that.
Boy, what a great deal that is. I might just go in and just adopt anything. And I adopted an 1,168-pound pet, so it's a little different. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for what you do.
Of course. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, hey, we're going to take an early break, and we're going to come back, and Dan and I are going to discuss. We're going to solve all the world's problems.
Yeah.
All of the world's problems. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. You know, John Bastiani started his business about the same time we started our business here at Free Fire Radio. He's our firearms dealer of choice. Good prices, great selection, super customer service. Veterans get discounts. You can get your CCW permit there. It's like one-stop shopping at Bastiani Arms. And did I tell you veterans get discounts? Yeah. John Bastiani, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. We'll be right back, 7:12 in the morning here, and 46 degrees.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Reading Electric Utility, like more than 2,000 utilities across the country, is a nonprofit public power agency owned by the customers. This year, we are celebrating 100 years of serving the city of Reading. October 3rd through the 9th is Public Power Week, and we celebrate the benefits of living in a public power community. These benefits include low rates and local control. Community ownership means your money stays right here in Reading. Publicly owned utilities like REU provide excellent service and work directly for the community.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke contacts, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Dan Knott, who is my co-host today, and this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank opened up about a decade ago, I think, and they hit the ground running. They've been helping people move their dreams forward for this whole time. They've got three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one right downtown at 1845 California Street, and the main branch, of course, is at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center. Soon to open up the Anderson branch next Wednesday. Jeff Fink, who is the CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, will be joining us. Talk about how they've grown and all the things that are happening there.
Carl, that's Cornerstone Community Bank, I believe. That's our bank of choice here in Reading. We have a lot of loans that go to a lot of other banks during construction cycles and otherwise. But in terms of community service to our community as a local bank, I can't say anything more positive. And we just love working with their team over there, across the counter, over
now,
the phone.
Do you work with Jamie at all?
No.
She's more of the – I think she's more in the commercial mortgage, or maybe – I'm not sure. But
who
do you work with over there?
You know, a lot of times working with Jeff and, Matt Mosley over there as well. I think his title is CIO, and Bryce Butcher is their bank manager at the Hartnell branch. And, I mean, shoot, it doesn't really matter who you're going to talk to. You're going to get great service. But I say that sometimes you're trying to, plug one of your trade partners, industry partners. In this case, it's an easy compliment to give.
Well, they've partnered with us for several years, too. And I see that as I'm walking by your parking structure, which I want to talk about here in a minute. And there's a big, financed by Cornerstone. That's cool.
Yeah.
Dan, when you were on the show the other day with Shannon Phillips, he said, God, I'd like to come back. And I said, be my co-host. And here you are.
Yeah, I know. I got to be careful what you say, right?
Well,
you're going to have to eat your words.
And I know that you've got like 1,000 projects going on, so I'm glad you were able to come in this morning. Speaking of the parking structure, a question comes up all the time. When do you think it's going to be finished?
Well, I think it's slated for the tail end of Q4 this year, so we're trying to beat the holiday season. There are some logistical challenges to just from a safety perspective, make sure ingress, egress is been accounted for, especially with the surrounding construction activities. So I'm happy to give an update maybe, later this year. I could call into the show, give you an update when we know definitively what that's going to be. We're hard charging it.
We're only 2 months away.
Yeah, we're hard charging. So hopefully we'll
How many spots are in there? How many approximately?
I think there's just north of 400 stalls.
400 stalls in there. Now, there is going to be a small charge because from the way you explained it before, was you're going to have, you know, you got to do maintenance on it.
Yeah, so you have your general operating cost, you know, operating the structure that way. You know, obviously, too, though, with, you know, it's, the charge is going to be market-driven. The idea is that you're going to want to keep, you know, close to, you know, 90-100% utilization ratio. So it's going to be priced to the market conditions here in Reading. We don't have a lot of paid parking, so you're not going to see a lot of high parking charges.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to highlight on that parking structure, which is really cool, and you can see it starting to come in the air right now, is it's the top of it actually has a structure up there that hosts a photovoltaic solar system that offsets 100% of the power for the adjacent housing development for all the residents. So they're actually power is provided by that solar array.
Okay, so we have that.
Yeah, so we you know, on top of that, you know, we're vetting our management companies, you know, with a keen eye to security in those locations. Lighting's always big, not just security for cars and vehicles and thefts, but security's for the comers and goers of the facility.
Which was a major problem with our old facility there. People complained about that all the time, that, you know, they didn't feel safe walking to their cars at times.
The security discussion for us downtown is paramount. You know, I think you can see some positive action that's occurred since we've turned the lights on in our Market Center facility.
Sure.
Just with respect to having, you know, eyes on the street from our residents, some self-policing occurring there, and just some more positive activity in the area that drives out the negative activity. But we're keenly focused right now on really trying to drive an effort forward for the downtown community to come together through, you know, property-based improvement district, and, you know, provide actually as, you know, the number one priority of that district, actually having security, private security, to be able to, you know, monitor those areas. Also potentially having ambassadors in the area that represent the downtown corridor that also have direct linkages to public safety. So I think, you know, we're still working, you know, to get all those things in place, get everybody rowing in the same boat, same direction, and get some horsepower behind it. But it's going to be coming. I think it's imminent at some point.
I think so. New neighborhood police unit. It's going to be based right down here.
Yeah.
Downtown here. To me, I'm trying, you know, I want to pitch my idea of the mounted police force to Bill Shuler. And Bill's a real polite guy, and he'll listen to me, and I'll go, hey, Carl, stick to radio.
have you had that discussion yet?
No.
I just thought Bill was going to give Bill some riding lessons down there at the rodeo.
We'll do. Now, you're a rodeo guy, right?
I can't say I'm a rodeo guy in the sense that I'm wearing a buckle or I've ever owned a buckle, but in terms of enjoying the show, being a part of, you know, my childhood growing up, my friends, we grew up in Happy Valley. I went to school at West Valley High School. We had a big rodeo, group down there. Had a lot of friends that participated. I still have a lot of friends that, you know, their children are now participating, traveling the state and otherwise. So, I think it's part, you know, for many of us here in Shasta County, I think it's a little bit of part of our DNA.
I think it is. And, you know, so there's this fear of, and for people that maybe you don't know this, is the proposal that went down, the unsolicited proposal that went to the city council to buy the land around the Civic and to develop this in mind with, you know, the needs and the wants of Reading. K2 is part of that, along with Turtle Bay and McConnell Foundation. But the big guys in this is a group called Populist, an international group. Now, and you think, well, why does an international group that does these huge things all over the world, how do they get to Reading? And there's one reason. And he's a young man from here.
Yeah, Michael Lockwood, one of the principals of Populous, also sits on their national international board. Born and raised, and not only is he born and raised, he still frequents the area. His family still lives in the area, and he's got an incredible heart for the area. He believes in it. He's just excited to be doing this. You know, as part of bringing them to town. You know, just to try to recruit them into town. You know, even internally within their organization. You know, you have, you know, Michael's got to get his organization
Sure, they have competing things from all over the world to do this.
There's no lack of work for their team, and the fact that they're focused on our community, I think, is a real blessing for all of us.
Now, one of the things, and I'll tell you, is I'm a rodeo guy too. And when I was much younger, I thought, well, because a couple of my Marines were doing it, because Camp Pendleton had a rodeo every year. I don't know if they still do. I'm kind of hoping it's called military rodeo, just military. And I had a number of cowboys in my unit. And so, hey, sir, you got to try this. You got to try this bull riding. And so I did. It didn't take me long to figure, like 1.2 seconds to figure. This is probably not my, and this is not what I'm going to do in life. But I also like it. And my concern was the rodeo going to go away? You know, was it just going to be taken and now, you know, the ground's gone? But you've kind of allayed those fears.
No, I think, first out of the gates, we met with the Rodeo Association, Bennett Gooch and their team. You know, Populous has an incredible equestrian design group as well. So I think, we talked a little about this on the last show, but, you know, part of this, you know, effort is, you know, we're starting, you know, our minds with a blank slate from the planning perspective, but while engaging the community and the stakeholders and how we can reimagine the area. And, you know, one of those, you being the Rodeo Association, coming to the table, sharing their thoughts and dreams with us, their challenges at their current site. When you have, you know, certain groups that are invested and have shown their ability to, operate a facility and have the stay power and the commitment to our community, the last thing you want to do is displace them. We're going to have a keen focus on, how can we enhance, you know, how can we enrich that experience and how can we encourage additional investment in our community so that we have facilities that aren't aged out and aren't on time clocks in terms of the groups look forward in terms of their capital investment into a project. If you're sitting on a 3-year timeline or a 10-year timeline, you know, money doesn't work that way in capital investment. You need to be looking for 30 to 50 years. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you're on a 3-year timeline, you just don't have enough money to invest. I mean,
people won't loan it.
Maybe put some paint on, you know, but you're not going to see investments that span beyond that.
Okay. I want people to, they know the McConnell Foundation and they know Turtle Bay and, you know, K2 has just started coming, even though y'all have been around. It's just kind of coming into the forefront here. And y'all are local boys, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try to keep a brief background. But, you know, we're Reading born and raised. The company started with my brother, Alan, my father, Randy, back in 2001. I joined the group in tail end of 2005 when I graduated from college, moved back up here, and kind of really started rolling 2005, 2006. My dad came out of the mobile home industry, worked for Skycrest Enterprises, Cousin Gary Mobile Homes as operations manager there for years. And so he's skirted the, every corner of this county through the years. And then since he left Cousin Gary's, he came on and started working with my brother. We started doing some single family home development. That grew into some multifamily home development. Right when I jumped on in 2006, which if anybody, you know, remembers the construction development cycle there through 2007, 8, and 9, can imagine. I always joke I jumped onto a ship that was sinking with a bucket with a hole in it during that time period. And it took the strength of the family to stay together through that time period to, you know, weather the storm, get us back on track. And through that effort, we, 2010, 2011 presented some opportunities in multifamily. There was a lot of defunct, foreclosed multifamily properties in and around the area that we started acquiring that had historically housed, you know, low-income households. And, we found it to be our priority to bring those properties back to life, enhance them, started working in partnership with the city and the county and to acquire those properties, do some rehab work, manage those. And that's what got us into the affordable housing side, which is part of our portfolio. But we continue to do all types of development. We're having affordable housing base. We've got market rate housing projects that we're working on. We have purely commercial driven projects as well. So we've just been blessed over the last 10 years to have continued to grow in this community. This community has supported the things that we've done. We're looking to support back the community with all projects that we do.
Well, you know, you've got one, two, how many projects right now? One, two, three, and then maybe the fourth one right down here, or okay. Five or six. How many do you have going?
Oh, in Shasta County. So if we're talking actively under construction, we've probably have one, two, maybe 10. In Shasta County. We also have a big undertaking going on in Butte County as well. I think we've got 220, 230 units, you know, actively under construction. Another 150 units that we're about to break ground on down there as well. I think that'll start in Q1 of next year. And then we have a slate of new projects for Q1, Q2 of next year here in Shasta County as well. So we're very busy. I hate to, you know, cite numbers off the top of my head, but I want to say we probably have 600 apartments under construction in and around the area.
Okay. Hey, I'm with Dan Knott. He's my co-host, but I wanted to get some more information out about K2. I met Dan when he was Danny, and at an event.
I think you met me. I had my tie strapped around my head that night.
That was the night. And and then the next night went to a Wild Turkey Foundation. There he was. The whole family was there. Yeah. In fact, everybody in camo. And after that, it was, you know, we didn't see each other a lot, but when we do, it's kind of like these kindred spirits. My wife loves you.
I was bummed I didn't get to see Linda today morning, so.
I said, Danny's gonna be my co-host, and she's running around, she was, you know, blowing out of the door, and, she goes, give him a hug, and I went, well, okay, we'll see. We gotta take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wirsch has been doing this for decades. He's been through the schools, but now he's got not just the school knowledge of it, but the professional knowledge on how to fix your windshield, how to keep you safe. And that's what he's looking for, is to make sure your family is safe and that he repairs that windshield correctly, whether it's a chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Go to Jeff Wirsch. He gives a free consultation, an inspection, and analysis. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. That's Crackmaster Windshield Repair. It's a veteran-owned business. We'll be right back.
I took a stroll on the old one walk of the day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. And I asked your friend, what's a fella to do?
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nurseries open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect fit. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. That's the story of my life, this song right here.
I was going to say, I'm glad it's a radio show so they can, your listeners can see us dancing.
Right, yeah, that's there, right. So. You know, well, they can because you were on YouTube, too. So, yeah, Dan has conveniently turned his back to the camera, though.
I didn't even know I was on camera.
Well, I forget to tell people. Yeah. I keep forgetting I tell people that. My guys have started this, and I just totally forget about it. And I think we've got all of two people that look at it. So,
well, they've both seen me picking my nose at this point. So,
No, you haven't done that yet. You know, I just forget about it too. That's one of those things that's kind of like being constantly surveilled by the government. 7:36 in the morning, and right here at Free Fire Radio, and Dan Knotts, my co-host, and let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, it is good morning. Carl, I sure appreciate you getting different people on here that we can ask questions about things we've heard and find out whether they're true or not.
As long as they're courteous questions, we have no problem with that.
Good morning, Nick.
Dan, what I wanted to ask you about is the three-story building you built over the top of the old Dicker store downtown Reading.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, it's a two-part question. One, I've been told that there was $20 million grant and or a $30 million grant. So I'm wondering how much grant money went into that building. And I'm told the reason you got the grant money was because you were going to have affordable apartments in it. Now, I'm wondering how many are affordable apartments, and I was told that that goes away after 10 years and you can rent them to market prices.
Nick, thanks for asking the question. I think, to answer the first part of your question, the grant was actually funded in part by a program through Housing Community Development through the state of California called Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities. So the grant was actually broken into three components. One was for a permanent loan to support the affordable housing component of the project. Two was to support the construction of housing-related infrastructure. And three was to support sustainable transportation improvement projects. You can see those improvements on our streets right now. That was what funded actually the reintroduction of the right-of-ways on Market Street, all the paver sections downtown, the new sidewalks, the new streetlights, the new street trees, the whole lot. Also help bolster our ability to rebuild that underground parking structure. In addition to that, there's actually 82 apartment units in there. That's a mixed-income complex with affordability restrictions ranging from 30 to 80%. All of those restrictions, as is standard in affordable housing these days, there was a time period back in the cowboy days of affordable housing where your rent restrictions actually were to 10 to 15 years. But now, pretty well carte blanche, they're all 55-year affordability covenants. So you can rest assured that those will remain affordable.
55 years?
Yeah, maybe I'll see the end of the affordability covenant during my lifetime, but I don't think my health is going to get me there.
Hey, Okay, well, that's just amazing, because I heard it was 10 years and then it's yours and you can rent it. So I'm glad you answered that part of the question. But how much grant money went into that?
Okay, yeah, the first part I answered there, that was a $20 million grant from the state of California. That was broken into three tranches. Again, the...
I got that. I was just... I've been getting misinformation, so I really thank Carl for letting me call and ask.
You
really
ask good questions. You know what? Here's the thing, Mick, is you do ask good questions, and you've come in before, and the one my favorite is when you asked Gary Hayward of Redding Rancheria that you had heard that $100,000, they awarded $100,000 once a year to one of the members of the tribe. I'd heard that too, but I watched Hayward's face when you said that. He goes, "My God, I wish it was me." And
well,
but see, the point I'm making is, you ask a good question and you dispel a lot of the mystery around things, because other people obviously hear the same thing. So yeah, I have no problem.
It's so nice to have the opportunity to ask that question and get the truth.
It is. Okay, Nick, thanks a lot. Have a great day, buddy.
You too. Bye.
Nick asked good questions.
No, Nick asked great questions.
And he's also got a show on our station from 8 to 9 on Sunday mornings.
Carl, we appreciate that. I think, when you hear... You hear the 10-year affordability restrictions or how the grant funds work. And, frankly, they get awarded as a grant, but they come to the project as a loan. So that loan tracks that affordability covenant, through that time period.
Sure.
and is repayable. And, it takes, eons to repay. It is a loan against the project.
Well, this is kind of important too, is when you start talking about, we were just talking, chit-chatting this morning. How many insurance policies do you have out for your construction?
Oh,
approximately.
Yeah.
I mean,
between construction and holdings and, the whole lot, I think, we're punching, well above 100 at this point, I would say.
For insurance policies.
Yeah.
And that doesn't cover other things like, the stuff the state takes, like workers' comp and all that.
Oh, yeah, and then obviously you have those other layers that kind of go on top of that. The insurance market, in response to the wildfires in our area has been incredibly challenging. Not just to we feel for homeowners,
sure.
Predominantly that are falling out of favor of insurance underwriters, based off their calculations and are unable to place policies these days. It's really driving the ability to afford, especially, elderly individuals on fixed incomes that are getting hit with incredibly increased insurance premiums and are getting forced to the FAIR plan. Similar to that effect that's occurred in the single family markets that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are having to contend with, we're contending with the same issues in the construction environment with our builder's risk policies. Our permanent policies, really having to shop hard to even find placement from carriers and on the builder's risk side.
Yeah.
We've seen premiums jump, a 50-unit apartment complex during construction, just on the builder's risk premium side, you might be looking at $300,000 premium. On the general liability side, you might be looking at, $250,000.
Yeah.
Whatever your insurance cost, just through the construction of a project, just on liability and builders punching above $600,000.
The GAV promised, what was it, 5 million housing units or something while he was, I just pulled that one out of the air. But it was some huge number to help our housing crunch we're having now. And, of course, the number that was built was, well under that. I think it was, under 100,000. Is this one of the problems when you're trying to build, and I'm not saying affordable housing, but I am saying affordable housing, but not affordable in the sense of low income, but just for middle income families.
Yeah, we kind of talk about the, housing, ladder and the spectrum between, affordable, middle, and, market rate projects. But, to get housing production, like, this is my personal opinion here. So, but to get housing production started, it's got to be feasible. And that's just frankly, to get the free market moving, to start building houses in this state is absolutely necessary. We can only do so much on the affordability side. There's only so many affordable housing developers. The program's thresholds are hard to meet. The complications of financing, the complexities there are a challenge to get new builders in that space. And, the affordable housing developers, you keep pumping money on that side. We're going to keep trying to, get as much done as we possibly can. But at some point, there's just a break point. We can't keep up with production. We've really got to find ways to reduce actually the cost of construction, the expediting permitting processes, to just get, to get builders through the free market putting housing stock online for this state.
How's the labor market?
Yes. Labor market's incredibly tight. We're looking at that all the time. We're scheduling projects to take longer than what would typically take.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming into going to be a very busy building schedule in Q2 of next year. We're having continued discussions within our office on how can we spread this work out to make sure that we've got enough labor capacity to keep up with the work. And it's a big crunch. I mean, labor, materials. There's projects that we can't secure paint on. There's projects that you can't secure your breakers on. There's incredible increases. Obviously, we dealt with that increase in lumber a few months ago that we had to secure inside of to get rolling on our downtown project. At a $1.2 million hit to the construction cost.
Added $1.2 million to
materials, lumber materials alone.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was after we did everything we could to mitigate the actual losses there. Materials went up to $1,700 a bunk, $1,700, 1,000 board feet. And, previously, if you were to...
What had it been before?
Well, at the top, look, we thought we were being conservative estimating our lumber costs at $500.
Wow.
Right. And so they've since then crept back down, but
1700. And y'all have been in the business. It's not like your first rodeo. You thought, okay, 500. That's going to say
it was that period of time in the lumber market. I think that'll be in the history books. There, just it was. They'll probably have to study it and figure out exactly what
people happened. Talk about hijacking like the Brinks truck. What you could have done and got made more money was hijacking one of the 18 wheelers coming by here loaded up with lumber.
There's all those little memes going across the internet at that point of time with gold signs on the side of the lumber trucks. Yeah.
We got to take a break here. I'm with Dan Nye, my co-host today. And Robert, if you just hang on to the other side of the break, we'll get to you right after this break. This portion of the show brought to you by Estate Granite. Mike's been in the business here for about 20 years also. He's he is truly an artist when it comes to working with marble, granite, slate. He can redo your kitchen, so it is incredibly beautiful. Countertops. All of that. He's the type of guy that we give the keys to and say, we'll be back in 3 days, 4 days. And the work's done. It's beautiful. He is truly an artisan when it comes to this. He works on appointments only. So we'll give him a call at 241-STONE. He's one of those good guys. It's a veteran-owned business also. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Play our Fall into Winter $75,000 Swipe to Win promotion. Win free slot play and cash every Thursday in October at 7 and 8 p.m. Final drawing on October 28th at 7 and 8 p.m. 25 lucky winners will have the chance to fall into winter with cold hard cash and free slot play. More drawings, more winners, more fun. What would you do with all that cash? Must be 21 to participate. See WinRiver.com for more information.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Dan Knott, who is part of the K2 empire.
Good morning, Reading.
It's a small empire, but still, yeah. It's yours. Hey, Jared, what was I saying? Oh, welcome back. 7:52 in the morning, about 47 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. Your air quality index is 47. Not bad at all. Let's go to the phones. Robert, good morning. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Dan. I want to echo Nick's sentiments, too, about your show every morning and having not only having good guests on, but asking really good questions. Your competitors are lousy at what they ask. They're more concerned with being buddies than they are with, informing people.
Well, thank you.
So my question, Dan, is kind of related to what Nick asked earlier, but a little bit on a different light. The building is beautiful downtown that you guys built. And my question is, what responsibility do the tenants have in upkeep with regards to, their whatever income, it's income controlled housing. Like if they start to destroy the building or not take care of it properly or trash or whatever, is there repercussions on them, or can they just do what they want? Because I think it's a beautiful building. I think it's everything they've done down there is well done. and I appreciate it, but I want it to stay that way.
Oh, we do too. So we're the owner operator responsible party for that structure. As you know, the tenant landlord relationship in an affordable housing complex is no different than any other complex. I think the one of the benefits of affordable housing is that you have to structure your financial pro forma around the continued operations and upkeep of the facilities at all times. We carry substantial reserves to take care of repairs and replacements that are necessary as units turn over, corridors turn over, and otherwise. With respect to tenants that are not abiding by the rules and regulations of their lease agreement, they're going to receive a notice, have an opportunity to correct. When that doesn't happen, you're going to go through the standard process you would on any housing unit in terms of removing that tenant from the property if they can't comply with the rules and regulations. It's we have an on-site manager there. We also have full-time maintenance staff on that property. Sometimes you have especially on the initial fill, you just have some tenants and some learning curves in a building to get people into compliance, understanding what that means. And to be able to, ultimately over time, get the right tenants in the property that do care for that property long term. We've proven to be able to do that across all of our properties here and ready for quite some time.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. You know what? Everybody has tenants. I lived in my buddy bought a condo down in San Diego, brand new building. He asked me if I want, hey, do you want to live in it, until we find somebody that we can get a long-term lease in? Cause I was living on my boat, which I loved, and I really didn't want to move off my boat, but I said, sure. So, I mean, this was a pretty expensive property. And we had all types of problems, and these people were paying top dollar. I mean, things like people pulling the fire alarms. I mean, it was ridiculous. So to be a property, to own a property and try and keep everybody under control there. I mean, it only takes one. That's why you got to be almost ruthless.
Property management is an intimate business. You're involved in people's lives, livelihoods, personal issues. Personal, their finances, their personal issues affect your relationship as a landlord tenant. And so it's a relationship that you need to take seriously and treat it with a lot of respect and try to, the best defense in property management is having a good open communication relationship with your tenants and trying to work through issues through an amenable fashion.
Do you have your own property management? Is that part of your group I feel like when you get ready to start off in a program like this, like the one right down here, you bring in a team of people for the construction and everything that goes along with it, and it's the same type of thing for property management.
Yeah, correct. So we go through an interview process. To answer the first part of your question is no, I don't have a property management business. I used to have a property management business when our development company was taken off. I had to dedicate an entire amount of my time to that business, and I couldn't run both at the same time. So I made the decision to exit that business a few years ago. With respect to how we handle property management, it's an interview vetting process. In order to even just qualify for programs with the state, and a lot of these projects get financed through tax credits and the tax credit regulations, there's extremely high threshold requirements for experience. You'd be surprised by how few property managers can meet those threshold requirements. So generally your property managers that are getting into buildings, operations management in this side of the business are going to be well-experienced, deep bench of staff, both at the corporate office and on-site. So, you're vetting that team like anybody else, and we're looking for the best,
Okay. I'm here with Dan Knott. He's my co-host today, but I'm taking this opportunity, as you all have, by asking questions about the projects that are going on down here. When we break for the news, we're going to come back. We're going to have attorney Patrick Gorman with us and his beautiful wife, Jill, and who is she's a legal secretary. So that, it's kind of nice to have it all in the family like that. We've got a couple of things we want to discuss. This will be the kickoff for Daniel's regular show, Patrick's regular show with us. But we'll be right back, right after the news.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Now that it has cleared the Senate, a two-month extension of the government's debt limit will head to the House, a vote expected there early next week.
In a 50-48 party line vote, the Senate approved increasing the debt limit by nearly a half trillion dollars, but only temporarily, to December. Earlier, despite agreement on the temporary measure, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell...
The Senate is moving toward the plan I laid out yesterday to spare the American people a manufactured crisis.
And then Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer...
Republicans played a dangerous and risky partisan game, and I am glad that their brinksmanship did not work.
...took verbal swipes at each other as this round of sparring came to an end. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Looks like House Speaker Pelosi's poll numbers are following those of President Biden. They're sinking fast.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is the best-known leader of Congress and the least popular, with more voters now rating her unfavorably than at any time since she was chosen to lead by her party. Her Republican counterpart, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, has better ratings but is much less well-known to voters. A new Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that only 35% of likely U.S. voters now have a favorable view of Pelosi, while 60% regard her unfavorably. This includes 19% with a very favorable opinion of the San Francisco Democrat and 51% with a very unfavorable one. Only 4% have no opinion of her. Bernie Bennett reporting.
And the opinion of the latest jobs reports, disappointing. America's employers added just 194,000 jobs last month. Far fewer than the 488,000 that many economists had been looking for. The unemployment rate, 4.8%. That is a sharp drop from a 5.2% jobless rate in the month of August. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 16 points, the NASDAQ 20 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Right now, people are home with their pet more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Olive got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DINOVITE.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com. DINOVITE.com.
Aid workers say escalating fighting in northern Yemen between the government and Houthi rebels forcing nearly 10,000 people to flee in recent weeks.
The International Organization for Migration said the worsening violence in the Marib region was destabilizing the lives of thousands of people and leading to civilian deaths and injuries. In one district, more than 30,000 people have been cut off from essential supplies. The aid workers say many of those who've been forced to flee are now enduring appalling conditions. They talk of drastically mounting levels of need. The Houthi rebels have recently stepped up their efforts to capture Marib, which is the government's last stronghold in the north of the country.
The BBC's Alan Johnston. A 100-year-old man on trial for his alleged role as a Nazi SS guard at a concentration camp during World War II told a German court he's innocent. Townhall.com. A judge has blocked a huge California development over wildfire danger.
Thursday's ruling comes after the state attorney general and others objected, saying portions of the largest proposed residential housing development in San Diego County's history would be too prone to wildfires. That and a similar recent challenge in Northern California are the first known times in the nation where a state has intervened to argue its interests in preventing wildfires overrides a county's interest in building more housing. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A bomb has gone off at a crowded mosque packed with Shiite Muslim worshippers in northern Afghanistan.
Taliban police officials report the blast killed or wounded at least 100 people in that mosque. Again, on Wall Street this hour, stocks are mixed. Right now, the Dow is up 14 points, the NASDAQ 19 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with today. Dan Knott is my co-host and from K2 Development, and we've been discussing a lot of things today. 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring and compassionate community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, today the 8th of October. Jared's got the weather. I've got the AQI, and what do you got, buddy?
Good morning. It's currently 45 degrees today. It's going to be mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers tonight with a low of 69, or a high of 69 and a low of 43. Tomorrow it's going to be sunny and clear with a high of 74, a low of 46. Sunday, sunny and mostly clear with a high of 79, a low of 43. Columbus Day, a high of 66, a low of 41. Tuesday, a high of 69, and a low around 41. And Monday and Tuesday are going to be under fire weather watch.
Whoa.
So.
Fire weather watch, huh?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, air quality index is 46, which is good today. And the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson, has won awards from the state of California for hiring veterans. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. On the phone is Susan Eastman with our update of what's going on in the stock market world.
Good morning, Carl and Dan. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are remain mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial averages up 29 points at 34,784. The S&P 500 is slightly positive at 4,400. The Nasdaq Composite is off 17 points at 14,636. Active stocks this morning, Ford up 49 cents, trading at 15.38. Bank of America positive 56 cents at 44.68. General Motors up $2.56, trading at $59.01. Stocks of local interest, Verizon down 15 cents at 53.72. PepsiCo down 78 cents, trading at 155.62. UPS up 41 cents at $182.01. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 1.60%. Over to commodities, gold is up $3 an ounce at $17.60. Silver positive 15 cents at $22.76 per ounce. And crude oil is priced at $80 a barrel. And that's why our gas is going up. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, member SIPC and NYSE for KCNR.
Hey, Susan. We're thinking about Linda and I thought we'd take Free Fire Media public. What do you think?
Oh, that'd be fun.
You're so
local,
nice.
Local stocks.
Susan, this is Daniel. It was great to hear from you this morning.
Oh, hi, Daniel. Nice to hear you, too. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Susan Eastman from Stifel Investments. She's the first vice president for investments there. They're located at 2701 Park Marina Drive. Give her a call at 530-244-7199. She knows a lot about this. Dan and I are here, and we our guest for this hour is Patrick Gorman. Good morning.
Good morning.
And his beautiful wife, Jill. Is that too much pressure to say beautiful wife?
No, I like it.
You like that. Okay. And Patrick is an attorney that, after 7 years of toiling with in the denizens of a law firm, said, you know what? He took a step out into the traffic like the rest of us, like Dan did, like Linda and I did, and started his own law firm. So, good morning.
Good morning.
For people that maybe don't know who you are, let's just kind of give a quick background.
So, my name is Patrick Gorman again. I'm an attorney. I specialize in representing injured workers who have workers' compensation injuries now. Until August, I actually represented the other side, all of the large employers and insurance companies in California. Been an attorney since 2012. Prior to that, I had a career in law enforcement and also was a stockbroker after serving in the U.S. Army. We moved up here in 2014.
Wait a minute. The 101st, right?
The 101st.
That's right. Doug McConnell was in here just chit-chatting with me. And you two, I thought it was going to be, you know, I was getting a little bit, a little concerned there because these guys go out and hug each other and all that stuff.
Well, we could probably sing the 101st Airborne song together. I mean, they grill it into you when you get there. You sing it about 37 times in reception. So I bet you he knows it, too. And
he probably does. Okay, and law enforcement.
Yes.
So you've got a wealth of knowledge back there.
Yeah,
I wasn't married during that time frame. Mm, the law enforcement.
The
time?
End of the stock. Era.
End of the stock era. Okay. Because being married to a law, you know what? We have law enforcement in here all the time, and I'm thinking the next time I'll ask either Chief Shuler or Sheriff Mike Johnson to bring in, you know, one of the brides about what it's like being married to a law enforcement officer. You know, I know what it's like in the military. I mean, it's tough. It's tough for on families. But I'm just imagining.
You know, I think with the military, it's tough because of the deployments, right? So when I went to Korea, there I went with six NCOs and five of them came home to a divorce. It was a 12-month deployment. But with law enforcement, it's a different animal because the wife has to deal with that husband, or the husband has to deal with that wife when they come home from their one day, their 12-hour tour, and they're amped up, they're stressed. You know, they even if it wasn't a stressful day as far as, you know, it being tragic, you're just going. You're constantly going because of understaffing and just the nature of the job. So on one hand, you know, the military,
you don't have the long-term deployments, but you do have the everyday stress of coming home.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine a military wife if every time their husband went out on a patrol, or their wife went out on a patrol or a convoy, if they had to deal with that person unwinding when they got back to base, I think military, I don't even know if a military marriage would work.
Well, you know, I know that one of the, of course, when I first came in, we didn't have this problem, but my last tour in Iraq, we had this problem, was phones and the internet. On one hand, it was good. They could stay in contact with their families, talk to their kids. On the other hand, it was real bad because mom was having a tough time. Mom at home, his wife was having a tough time with plumbing the kids, and she'd unload on him. And even, no matter how much you try and tell the wives, you know, because we have the wives, they have wives organizations for everybody that deploys. Don't unload on them because these guys are going out. We want them to focus on their jobs, stay alive, and keep their mates alive. And, you know, mom unloads on them 20 minutes before they go out on patrol. Now, their mind maybe not be right there, so, which is why if we had an incident, we had serious casualty incidents, phones and internets are turned off until we could make the notifications and all this, but it was just, so you knew at a certain level there was not going to be any internet or phones. And when that happened, you knew that, you know, okay, someplace around here we just got hit hard. Because otherwise, somebody, you know, the rumor control was just horrible.
Yeah.
You know, oh, Doc got killed. Well, Doc wasn't killed, but that's Doc's wife heard that before any notifications.
Right.
So, anyway, no, I can imagine that. Anyway, but that's not why you're here today. So, what we're going to do is take a quick break early, and then we'll get back into. We're going to talk about the evictions. I've got so many, you know, this morass of bureaucracy and. You know, there was, you know, a moratorium. Is it over? Is it not over? You know, with the impact it has on people on both sides. And you've got a bunch of facts here that we're going to kind of talk about. Dan Knott and Carl Bott, 8:13 in the morning. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry. What can I say except this is Linda's favorite place to hang out. So I try to keep her busy during the day. Otherwise, it becomes her she cave. Well, I exaggerate, of course, a little. But Rebecca and Henry have done such wonders with Four Winds Jewelry. They have a huge selection, a great selection of jewelry at very fair prices. The only watch repairman in the area. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading is at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading across the street from Sierra Gibbs. We'll be right back.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNI Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Free Fire Radio on 7 to 9 AM, Monday through Friday. Carl Bott here, and my co-host Dan Knott, and K2 answered a bunch of questions in the first segment about buildings and how it works around here in the state. This portion of the show brought to you by, hey, Hawes Farms is now open. And it's fall fun with family night every Thursday night. And all haunted attractions are open every Friday and Saturday at Hawes Farms out at 6564 Deschutes Road. You can get tickets available at the gate or online, except right now I have two tickets to get in and two tickets for the haunted facility, haunted barn. First person to call is 605-4567. You get two tickets to get in to the Hawes Farm and two for the Scare Factory.
That's quick.
Yeah, phone rang right away, didn't it?
I could give away tickets for colonoscopies. And I probably should because it's good. It's healthy. Oh, here they come. So we're here with Patrick Gorman and his wife Jill, who's the attorney. We learned a little bit about Patrick in the first segment. Now, evictions. the eviction laws, and people think of these monolith corporations that own all these properties. Oh well, you know, kind of like, well, so what? But in many cases, it's your neighbors who may have they bought that first house, and as they've done better, they've worked hard and all that, and they bought a second house and they rented out the first house, and been able to do that. And then the eviction moratorium hit, and it's a big corporation can absorb that in some ways, but small families or families that own a property or a couple of properties are really getting hit by this. Where are we in the state of California?
So first, these aren't laws. These are executive fiats. Nobody's changing any statutes.
Oh, okay, so these are just like executive orders.
Yeah, they are. Emergency orders. Back to your point about the individuals owning properties. This was a source of upward mobility and retirement for generations of the middle class, and it's evaporating. And it has been since 2008. When the housing crisis, the bubble burst, and now even more over. So they're in the news, you read that the eviction moratorium is over. It's not. I mean, it is to some extent, but it's not. And landlords have been going for 18 months without being able to collect rent and having no remedy. So we've seen or heard stories of many landlords, and also haven't heard stories of many landlords utilizing self-help to try to reclaim their property. Before, it was disfavored under the law because a landlord had an opportunity for a quick, impromptu eviction process to reclaim their property. And that was taken from them overnight with no warning. So in a lot of cases, and granted, I mean, some people are trying to pay their rent from savings. But there are other people who are making more than they were making before they were laid off or what have you, with the enhanced unemployment benefits. They're making more money, and they're just not paying, and the landlord can't do anything about it. So you've heard stories about people shutting off internet or shutting off power, things like that, and it's really just been nasty. So they claim that there's the moratorium's over, but there's rules where a landlord's misled by believing that headline. I mean, these headlines are always misleading, right? Essentially, the rules are if somebody applies for COVID relief, you cannot evict them until the entire process is exhausted, whether they qualify or not. So there's an initial process. They file the application. And then if they lose because they don't qualify, then they can appeal. And there's no time frame on these appeals. There's no guidance on how long these appeals take. So we don't know. As far as qualifying, to qualify for full rental aid in Redding or in Shasta County, I think the numbers are roughly a family of four needs to make under $50,000. So most people aren't going to qualify for full rental assistance. So a lot of these tenants who have been waiting for the government to come and help them aren't going to get that help. The landlords aren't going to get that help either. The other issue is somebody who's been paying 25% of their rent for the last 18 months. If they start paying full rent as of the 1st of October, you cannot evict them. And any back rent that they didn't pay, your only remedy is to take them to small claims court.
Now, didn't I see someplace that Newsom said that they were going to pay all the back rent to the landlords?
Well,
or was that just something in one of those headlines?
Devil's in the details. So they're going to pay back rent for the tenants who qualify because of income.
Who qualify?
Right.
Right.
But that's how many families of four in California make under $50,000? Most families of four making that much are. Wouldn't be making that much. They would have two working parents because most people cannot live on that small amount of income,
mm-hmm.
Even in any area for that matter. There's going to be some people who qualify, but most will not. Any who do qualify are already on some kind of assistance. And again, the devil's in the details. So if a landlord accepts that money, let's say your tenant qualifies, and there's partial benefits too.
Sure.
There's a tier. So let's say the landlord accepts that money. They haven't published what strings are attached. We know if a landlord receives subsidies from HUD, there's severe covenants and restrictions on their property. They cannot take it out of the rental market for something like 3 years. I don't know the exact regulations, but they are permanently a HUD, or not permanently, but for a very long term, a HUD landlord. And the government controls what you have to have in your premises. They regulate what smoke detectors you have and all kinds of other things. If they decide that you put the wrong paint on the inside because later we find out that latex is bad for people, you have to repaint the inside at your own cost. So the government's going to have control over people's property because they're taking money from the government. There's always strings attached. There's no free money from the government, right? There's always more control, more regulation. So what this will do, and another thing is I just want to point out, these landlords have been paying their mortgage, their insurance, their property taxes. maybe they've had forbearance on their mortgage, but that's all due and payable all at once. So we might see.
Yeah, forbearance was offered to us. You know, we didn't need it, but forbearance was offered, and they said, oh, you know, for 4 or 5, you know, 3 months, 4 months, but on the fourth month or the fifth month, you pay it all.
Yeah.
And that's assuming you had a qualifying loan. You know, a lot of landlords didn't have forbearance alternatives.
Sure. If you have more than four units, you're a commercial property, you have a commercial mortgage, and you don't have forbearance on commercial loans. I completely agree. For the single family home landlord, right, where this is their first home and second home, they probably could get it. But if your tenant's not paying for 18 months, you're not going to be able to pay 5 months worth of mortgage 5 months after you haven't received a penny from them. So what I think may happen, what I'm speculating, is that there'll probably be a crunch. There'll probably be a lot of foreclosures, people walking away, and then who comes in and buys them up? The same people who bought them up in 2008, the large funds. So we're creating a situation where we've eliminated a source of upward mobility for the middle class. Where the tenants, you know, they're not going to be benefited by this in the long run. 10 years from now, your landlord isn't going to be somebody you can talk to. You're going to call and talk to somebody in another country at a 1-800 number who's going to give you the runaround. You're never going to get any answers. There's going to be no accountability. So you're going to be dealing with a corporation. You're going to be renting from a large corporation, essentially, and they're going to write the rules. They're going to define the terms of your tenancy. Ultimately, it's going to be owned by a bunch of large companies, and that's going to be the dominant landlord. It's becoming that way already, but even more so. I think this may be the nail in the coffin.
Wow.
I had no idea.
You probably do.
Well, just, you know, with respect to the big squeeze in the middle class, you know, it's what I get, you know, concerned about primarily. We have you have those families. Like the first bit of advice, you know, I get a lot of questions about how do you get in real estate, how do you get in real estate investment. The very first thing I always answer is, do you have a home right? Are you living in a? Or do you have a home right now? No, you know, try to find a way to buy one. If you're in that position, do you own a home? Look, buy another one and rent the other one out, and like see if you're a good fit for a landlord. You know, it's not a good fit for everybody, but if you are, you know, that is where the middle class starts establishing generational wealth. It's been how we got started as a company as well. Like, you know, I think, you know, putting that middle class squeeze, look, the squeeze is always on the middle class, you know, and
no matter what they say, middle class gets hammered.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't be focused across all income spectrums. However, this is, I think, the big concern I have is, you know, equal to Patrick's, and, you know, the nuances of how all these programs work to help fund other income levels, I think, you know, are it's a good that there's at least a solution, I would say, you know, but when we do start looking at that middle class squeeze, I think what we're going to see in terms of landlords, that's going to be the biggest detriment to the ability for upward mobility.
I agree, and I don't know why the government has made the decision to pass the financial burden to individuals. If they're going to pay back rent, but they're not. They're passing the financial burdens of all of these COVID decisions onto businesses, onto landlords, and a bunch of other folks that probably I'm not even aware of just because I'm focused on certain things that I see and notice, but I'm sure everybody has a story of how they've been individually burdened financially by these COVID decisions. And, you know, usually the government, if they're going to create an entitlement program, it's funded through taxpayers. They're not funding the landlords. They're not funding them. They're not. They say to the news, "Hey, we're gonna pay all back rent." But like I said, the devil's in the details. We're gonna pay all back rent for a family of four making under $50,000 in Shasta County is what they should have said. Mm-hmm. But that's not what they said. So everybody thinks, hey, landlords are going to be okay. Even landlords are relying on this and making their financial decisions. But again, I agree. I am all for, I don't think people should live under bridges or have to live under bridges. I think there should be upward mobility. I think there should be opportunities. I worked in a housing clinic when I was in law school. So I agree. There's necessary, help. You know, we don't want, there's no reason why people in America should ever, you know, die on a sidewalk unless they choose to. And I'm not saying that's happening, but I definitely support there being low income housing and access to housing. I just don't think that it's really the purview of the state of California to say, and we're going to do it at the expense of these retirees and these, middle-aged Californians who are just trying to create a better life for their children to inherit.
Yeah. Well, that's what my kids did. She's a nurse. She's a deputy U.S. Marshal. They had a house, and when she went to work full-time, they were able to buy another house. So they rented that house out, and that's their part of, you know, the generational wealth. I asked them about were they having problems, and they said no. Luckily, that their tenant job was secure and all that. But you know, for people that are, that's always been a way, as you pointed out. You know, the small landlords, you know, maybe one or two properties that they've been able to accumulate, knowing thinking of that as their nest egg when they retire.
A lot of small business owners. I mean, if you look at, small business owners don't always have their own retirement plans. They don't always have their own saving plans. They're subject to the whims of the economy. There's good years, there's bad years. You hit the wrong economic cycle at the end of your career, you're kind of bootstrapped to working the rest of your life. And the ability to kind of get into a retirement position for a lot of those individuals is through real estate. And primary, means of investing in real estate for the middle class, and
sure.
and the easiest entry is in residential. And so, it is for me. I'm a landlord. This is how I've built my career, and I'm how supporting my family and supporting the community is through real estate. And it does tug on me, especially when I hear the stories and the anecdotes of people that are close to me, suffering these,
Well, this was. And this was, kind of an eye-opener for me that, like you said, the devil's always in the details in finding out that, oh, okay, but now the government owns my house for the next 3 years, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you tell you how much to charge?
We're with Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, and, of course, Dan Knott is my co-host today. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy's been doing this since 1993, helping families, business owners, veterans, and she's got a special place in her heart for veterans. I can tell you that. If you need a second opinion on a retirement plan, which we're just talking about, and those things are 401, give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. 221-0441 is her phone number, and they're located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nursery is open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Danny Knott, who is my co-host today of K2 Enterprises, and me. It's 8:36 in the morning, 47 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day today. We're looking at having cooler weather now. I guess we can turn off the sprinklers at this point. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services for emergency care, heart attack care, preventative care, lack of surgical complications, heart failure, stroke, and hip and knee replacements at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Danny and I are here with Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. We talked about the eviction, the eviction laws, and how, as it is with everything, the devil's in the details. But we had a question that we've just been that came in from one of our listeners about COVID and with the employee mandate for COVID shots and then workman comp cases. So
yes,
you're one of the four experts probably in the state on something like this.
So during the COVID crisis beginning in March of last year, I worked with the largest employers in California and skilled nursing facilities specifically, as well as retailers, on COVID, specifically how to handle the claims process, then what to do about vaccines. So the question was whether or not there's been an increase because of statewide mandates. For state employees, absolutely. And the thing about workers' comp is most people work with a work injury, and they do it until they retire. But when you get a raw deal from your employer, all of a sudden you decide, hey, I'm not going to work hurt anymore. This is BS, right? So a lot of safety workers, state employees, they are pursuing their workers' comp injuries that they haven't filed because they were trying to do their employer a solid. So, yes, we have seen an increase of claims. As far as the actual claims arising out of COVID vaccines, I have one, and it's very catastrophic. So they're few and far between. I don't want to, like, cause any panic. My wife and I got the vaccine just because our son is going to get sent home from school all the time. But – again, it can cause damage with people who have susceptibilities, and if you have, you really need to talk to your doctor. It shouldn't be mandated by the employer, by the state. But again, this is just another example of the state passing the buck, right? So with COVID, if you have employees, there's a presumption. If somebody has worked for you in the last 14 days and they catch COVID, if you have less than 100 employees, and four people had it within 14 days of one another, that's either before or after, it is presumed that they got COVID at work. So now you have a compensable COVID workers' compensation injury. If they're a healthcare worker, it doesn't matter how many people are in the workplace. If you have more than 100 employees, it's 4% of the labor force. And they count the number of employees by the most people who have clocked in the last 45 days. So there's this these COVID presumptions. You can look them up. They're very convoluted, but it's under section 3212.86 through 88 of the labor code. And there's different tiers. So you have safety workers, healthcare workers, and there's regular employees. So employers are on the hook if somebody catches COVID, if there's an outbreak. And the insurance company has only 45 days, 30 to 45 days, depending on what type of employee, to determine whether or not they got COVID somewhere else, which is very difficult because you can't depose somebody in that amount of time. So you have to get somebody to do a social media check, and you have to rely on these people's word of being honest that they didn't go to Las Vegas and things like that. So it's an expedite. I usually have 90 days to investigate if somebody was injured somewhere else. With COVID, is much shorter. Those are through January 1st, 2023, all of those presumptions. So if somebody's not vaccinated, there's a presumption they got it at work. If somebody is vaccinated and the employer had anything to do, even encouraging them to get the vaccine, then they're liable for any damages arising out of that vaccine through workers' comp. So if the employer says, hey, I think you should get the vaccine.
Wait a minute. So if you're, if we go into this, if you've got over 100 people.
Yes.
I have to mandate to my employees to get the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
And now we've got a choice. They can either stay. I mean, what if you give them the alternative of or be tested? So that's different. So they didn't get it. But if somebody does get the vaccine because it's mandated, they have a severe reaction to it. I'm responsible.
Well, your workers' compensation carriers.
Workers' comp.
Yeah, you're liable for any and all damages. And they have long-haul COVID. You have people who have been lifetime smokers who have negative reactions from either COVID or the COVID vaccine. Who knows what their lungs are going to look like in 12, 13 years? So, people didn't know asbestos caused mesothelioma for 17 years, right? There's a latency period with any of these lung damages. I've seen several lung x-rays with people who were asymptomatic where they had a ground glass opacity in their lungs, ring patterns. Similar to what you saw from mesothelioma. Not the same pattern. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But either way, I've dealt with asbestos cases. I used to deal with asbestos cases in San Francisco. And there was always a scarring pattern in the lungs to demonstrate they had exposure to mesothelioma or to asbestos. And there's also a scarring pattern with regards to COVID. So there's latency. We're going to have people with lung disease possibly in 13, 17 years, and we'll see.
Yeah, Patrick, as you were talking about, basically when businesses are mandated to require the vaccination and then, also the workman comp exposure. Can you talk a little bit about what carriers, what pressure is being put on the carrier front in order to pick up those exposures? Are there gaps in coverage for many business owners that they need to be looking into? Are there, or has it been kind of prescribed by mandate to pick up that exposure for an employer?
So there's no way for a workers' compensation carrier to deny coverage to their employer. And if they do, you should hire a lawyer and go after them for bad faith. There are punitives associated with bad faith litigation. So they're picking them up. The problem for the insurance companies, and I don't really feel too bad for insurance companies, but in this situation, I do a bit. They were never able to underwrite for this risk. And they've actually been mandated to return premiums because people weren't open, right? So they were paying premiums on people who weren't working. So they're getting, handed a big bill too. Now, the way this works, though, and we saw it in 2008, is they know their bailout's coming, right? They know that the Fed is going to step in and bail them out. But it's just another example of people making decisions where the ends justify the means, and I never agree with that statement, ever. They're making employers do the bidding of the legislature. And just like they're, passing the buck to landlords. People are, I think they're doing things for their, I don't think that, there's evil in the world, but I don't think this is it. I think they're trying to do the right thing, and they believe the ends justify the means, and they definitely believe in this being the right decision. I just don't see it being the right decision as far as passing burdens. So employers have to mandate it if they have 100 employees, if that goes into effect.
If it goes into effect. OSHA, which is supposed to be the one that is the enforcer on this, they still haven't come up with anything. I wonder if he even spoke to OSHA and said, you are the ones that are going to be the one, you know, to be the enforcement arm. But that still hasn't been written, and it's still, I mean, there's already court cases against it.
Yeah.
But still, it's, when you get into an employer of 100 people, and you think, well, that's kind of a semi-large business. Well, small businesses are 500 and below, 500 employees and below, from what I understand. So 100, you know, having 100 people working for you is, you know, it's great, but you can lose 25% of them right away because of this, and then you can be held responsible for a government decision that you would not make on your own. Unfortunately.
Well, and another thing I want to point out, for we have a lot of small health clinics up here. If a healthcare worker gets a preventative vaccine and they have a negative outcome, it is conclusively presumed that that is industrial. So if you have somebody working at one of these small clinics and you mandate their vaccine, I understand that. I'm not taking a position on the mandate one way or the other. I mean, I have my personal opinions. Everybody needs to make their own business decisions. But at the end of the day, if somebody works in a healthcare setting, they have the vaccine and they have a negative outcome, there you can't even argue they got it. The reaction wasn't because of the vaccine or that it's not a workers' comp case. It is. So a lot of people aren't informed about this. The broker side, a lot of brokers who are dealing, you know, brokers, when they deal with insurance, they talk about liability. Workers' comp's a side note. It's very complex. It's a side note, and they don't see the premium exposure there. But yeah, again, underwriters aren't underwriting for this. At some point, it's going to get captured, right? The insurance companies are going to get paid for this. They're not going to, you know, lose money. So yeah, it's a mess. It's a real mess.
Okay. We're with Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, who, and we're talking, first part of the show, we talked about the eviction morass we've got going, or could be, and now we're talking about the COVID problems and workers' comp, and when you get hit with a government regulation, where the government's going to come after you for $25,000 a day per case, which has not come out yet, but that was the plan, but has not been instituted yet. Where the employer is caught between the government on one side and his employees on the other. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where I hung out yesterday for 15 minutes. Had another great haircut. It is absolutely the best place in Redding to get a haircut, in my opinion, of course. They work by appointments only, 244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold. Yeah, no Dr. Phil on the TV in there. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Don't miss Wind River Resort and Casino's Fire and Ice Halloween Bash, featuring two of Redding's hottest DJs. Dress up, bust out your dance moves, and enter the costume contest. Over $2,500 in cash and prizes. Battling DJs on the ones and twos, playing all the hottest hits. Fire and Ice Halloween Bash, only at Wind River Resort and Casino, Saturday, October 30th at 9 p.m. Must be 21. Tickets on sale at windriver.com and the River Club.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District Radio Show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%,
And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Reading Electric Utility, like more than 2,000 utilities across the country, is a nonprofit public power agency owned by the customers. This year, we are celebrating 100 years of serving the city of Reading. October 3rd through the 9th is Public Power Week, and we celebrate the benefits of living in a public power community. These benefits include low rates and local control. Community ownership means your money stays right here in Reading. Publicly owned utilities like REU provide excellent service and work directly for the community.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Just a small town girl, living.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Friday, our last segment here. Another grueling 2 hours. I don't know. I hope I can make it through the last 10 minutes here. Monday, we're going to have Shasta College, and they're bringing in the heavy equipment guys. Now, a lot of times, the people they're putting through the school over there in welding and diesel mechanics, heavy equipment, they're being hired out of the school before they get that final. Final class because of the need for workers that we have. Now, we have a caller, and he has a question about workers' comp. And Patrick Gorman is our guest, and Dan Knott is my co-host. And Patrick and his wife, Jill, are here. He's an attorney at law, and he sometimes won't be able to answer specific questions, but if you have more questions, then you just give Patrick a call and give his phone number at the end. Okay, caller, what's your question?
Yeah, I've got an employee, actually a 1099 contract employee, that had an accident at the office this week. She was standing up from, an office chair that has roller wheels on the bottom of it, and we have a hard surface flooring, and the chair out from under. She twisted her ankle. It sounds like she may have torn some ligaments, etc. Is there anything? She hasn't filed a claim. She's still working from home. She's still able to perform her work from home, and we've granted her that opportunity. Is there something proactive that I should be doing?
Well, first, I just want to let you know that it doesn't matter if she's a 1099 employee or not when it comes to workers' compensation. If you tell her what to do, you have control over her. You set her hours, you set her rate. She's an employee for workers' compensation. The federal tax code has nothing to do with whether or not you have an employee-employer relationship for the purposes of workers' comp. As far as being proactive, make sure that you accommodate. Make sure. So I've had very good employers, first off, who have had some pretty catastrophic injuries. They're very good employers. I barely had any cases. What happened is they've had injuries, terrible injuries, torn meniscus, torn shoulders. They send the person to the doctor. They authorize an MRI. They authorize their treatment, their surgery, and they're back at work, and they're happy. People don't want to sue. Suing is miserable. It takes forever. It's uncomfortable for everybody. Just make sure that you do what's necessary to get her back to work. And at some point, if that's no longer the issue, if it's somebody who maybe doesn't want to return to the job or they think that the workers' compensation claim is some form of lottery ticket or something, then I would encourage you to not treat it. You need to talk to your workers' comp carrier or your broker at that point because classifying somebody as a 1099 employee does not matter. And I encourage you to read over the laws passed under AB5 back in 2019 where they reclassified employees. And even the Uber driver initiative is tossed out. So, again, just about everybody's an employee unless they're an actual licensed contractor, an attorney, an accountant, something like that. But an office worker, I don't think she's going to be considered an independent contractor. She's probably an employee.
Yeah, and we have workers' comp. So are you suggesting I reach out to my carrier and alert them, or only if need be?
Hey, you know, what I would always tell employers is give her a claim form and have her fill it out. That's your obligation. That's your legal duty, is to give them a claim form.
Okay.
A lot of insurance companies don't want to do that because they don't want to prize people of their rights. The problem is, if you don't give her a claim form and she comes back 10 years from now, or let's say she has another injury in 5 years, where it's a really bad ankle injury, and she files a comp claim, that insurance carrier is going to come after you because you haven't even started the statute of limitations until you give her that claim form. It's called a DWC-1 claim form. I encourage you to do it through your workers' compensation carrier. But people need to be apprised of their rights to even start counting the time frame for them to act on them. If you don't give her a claim form, then she can come back in 10 years. It may not even be her. It may be another insurance company that will come back after you in 10 years. So you need to apprise people of their rights. I would give her a claim form. I would make sure that she gets medical treatment. And try to accommodate. Don't ever get into a situation where you're bringing her back to work in a manner that may seem punitive. A lot of employers do that because they think people are faking, and it just causes attorneys to get involved.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate the help.
No problem.
Okay.
Have a good day.
So there's a statute of limitations then.
Yeah, so when you give somebody a claim form, a DWC-1 claim form when they have a workers' comp injury, there's some statute of limitations, right? And usually the hard one is about 5 years from the date of injury or the date you provided the claim form. It's 5 years. There's some other ones that aren't strictly adhered to. And again, as I said when we spoke last month, that, you know, the labor code's construed in favor of giving people benefits. But if you give somebody a claim form and you can prove you gave them a claim form, you know, they sign a receipt or something like that, and they do nothing for 5 years, they're going to have a hard time pursuing benefits at that point.
Okay. Well, but the big thing is, and what I'm taking from this, and Dan, you probably get into this a lot too, is treat them the way you would like to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, give them the form, just say, what can we do to make sure that you're okay? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you can work from home, that's great, and you know, no problems, but we want to make sure that you're incident is taken care of, because the vast majority, yeah, you hear these ones where people have gotten these claims and oh, their backs are gone, and you see them lifting up a horse to put inside a trailer, but those are I think are more rare. I think
yes.
People do want, if you like your employer, you know and you feel like you're being treated fair. Am I right on this?
Yeah, I think primary, just as Patrick noted, is care for, acknowledging care for the injury, you know. Give that person the support they need, and look, you have work comp for a reason, and it's to cover those kinds of workplace accidents.
Okay. We got about 2 minutes left. How do people get a hold of you, Patrick?
So if anybody,
you know what you're talking about and COVID and all this other stuff. Yeah.
You know, I do miss the times when I wasn't a lawyer, because the lawyers, we were talking earlier, they predict bad outcomes. And so you just find yourself doing that in everyday life, and, you know, ignorance is bliss. And I just think of how many ways people can sue somebody or get sued. And you know.
That's why I'm so blissful. Ignorance. Okay.
So please give me a call anytime, 530-262-2168. And, you know, I never will dismiss somebody. Whether you have a comp case or you just have a question, I always have time. Just give me a call. You can also email me if you have a long question or something at email@Gorman, G-O-R-M-A-N, comp, C-O-M-P, law.com. And you can visit my website at www.gormancomplaw.com. But, yeah, give me a call. I answer the phone. You can text me as well at that same number.
Today, from 4 to 7 p.m., Linda and I will be down here on Market in Tehama. REU is celebrating their 100th anniversary. And if you think about something that happened 100 years ago that has a huge impact on your life, it's when the city of Reading bought the power company from PG&E, or whoever that was at that point, so that we own our own utility company, our own electricity, which is why our rates are so much lower, why we have such great service here. So they're celebrating their 100th anniversary, so come on down, say hello to Linda and I, and come down, and we'll be on the radio from 4 to 7. We'll be talking to Dan Beans, of course, the CEO over there, the director of a Reading Electric utility. We're going to be talking to our fire chief about the fires that have been going on and a couple of really interesting people on what impacts us daily. Not just your electricity and having electricity all the time, but fires, how you can mitigate, how you can try to help prevent these ongoing endless fires. I didn't get a chance to talk about holding PG&E responsible. We've got a Shasta County criminal suit against PG&E right now for the Zog fire for four deaths. And my bottom line on that is,